I dag skal vi til Burgund, eller Bourgogne som de liker å kalle det, og vi har til og med gjest. Dette kan bli spennende. Følg med. Hei, hjertelig velkommen til en ny episode av Kjells Vinkjeller, og ikke minst Tom Amrati Løvås sin drinkfeed. I dag, Tom, så er vi heldige.
I dag er vi veldig heldige. Vi skal snakke om en fantastisk vin, eller vingård. Vinsted.
Ja, vingårder tror jeg nesten vil si. De har så masse vin at det er helt vilt.
Det er helt, helt hinsides. Og vi skal til Frankrike.
Ja.
Vi skal til Bourgogne.
Ja.
Det har vi lært på kurs.
Det har vi lært på kurs.
At det, det er det det heter. Og vi har med en gjest, så nå skal vi straks begynne å snakke utenlandsk.
Vi skal snakke utenlandsk i dag. Dette er litt morsomt. Vi er jo... Vi har jo blitt oppdratt til at Burgund er veldig, veldig små gårder med veldig lite vin. Men disse her har 100 forskjellige viner, så her må vi, dette må vi til bunns I.
Det må vi.
Ja.
And now we're going to switch to English. And a warm welcome to Eleanor.
Hi.
That was correct, right?
Yeah, Eleanor.
Very good. What's very interesting by talking about Louis Latour at this moment is that you are the next generation of the winemaking family.
Mm-hmm.
12 generations. You've been there a long time.
Oh yeah, we've been, we started in the region in the 17th century and we have not moved ever since.
Tired of traveling maybe?
Do you have a lot of siblings or is it only you?
I do have 3 siblings.
Yeah. Is it like you have to take over the company or do you want to take over? Or is, is it like you brought up to do this?
No, I guess when you grew up in Burgundy, you want to stay in Burgundy because the place is nice, the wines are nice, the people are nice. So that's something I always wanted to do growing up. But I did have a choice. I was studying law in Paris, so I was quite far away from the domain and I decided to come back.
And you're the oldest one?
Yeah, I am.
So,
and the only daughter as well.
Oh, good, 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 good. So the boys don't can take over. But what is your... What is your fear when you're taking over like a big company like this and in the wine industry?
Well, maybe there is a big pressure, you know, because of everything that has been done before me. Like, I feel like I have all the generation before me watching over me and be like, oh, don't mess that up. It's a big heritage we left you, so you better take care of it.
Maybe you should turn it around and say that the other generations are lifting you up. That's a better way to look at it, I think.
But you have this business or the family owned business in 1797. Mm-hmm. You have over 100 different wines.
Mm-hmm.
But we learned that Napoleon Bonaparte, he had this strange family law that every
family member
got this. They divided the into all the kids. You have 5 kids, you divide the farms into 5.
That's so to be more exact, I would say. So the way the domain grew was so we had suffered from something called phylloxera in Burgundy in 1891, so a bit after Napoleon. And at that time, they thought that we were not able to, we would not be able to make wine anymore in Burgundy. So most of the families that own vineyards decided to stop. And that's when the Latour decided to acquire some more. So 1891, so a bit after Napoleon.
Ah, so you bought a lot of additional family land.
Yeah, the domain was quite small at the time. My ancestor, great-great-great-grandfather, couldn't only be a wine grower. He was a teacher, a mayor, a wine grower, and he was making barrels in his spare time. So you had to have several jobs to sustain your family.
How can you have spare time since doing all that? How's your relation to wine? I mean, one thing is to take over the business, but you have to have a deep interest for the product itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when you grew up in Burgundy, I'm not going to tell you what age I was when I started drinking wine, because we would be forbidden to hear
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess you start pretty young. It's really part of the culture and the environment you grew up in.
So you are sort of being around and in the wine since you were very small.
There is something we do in France. I'm not sure here and nowhere, but for the kids, we pour water and wine in the glass to dilute the wine a little bit and make them taste.
Okay, so you start very
early. We haven't started with that yet in Norway because we don't make wine here, we make spirits. So vodka and aquavit with the wine doesn't
make sense.
I don't think so. So Let's move into the wine itself, the product itself. What can you tell about your range?
So at Maison Latour, we can either do it like in a really complicated way and spend 2 weeks explaining us and explaining what we do, or we can keep it simple. And in Burgundy, we mainly do Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. We do have other cépage, but it's really, really small cépage left, like Gamay and Aligoté. So let's keep it simple and try maybe a Bourgogne Chardonnay, which is the benchmark of what Maison Latour has to offer.
Do that. You can start serving. You're so good at that.
I can serve as well.
Thank you very much.
Be in Burgundy is the most important wine in district in the world. Is it a little bit scary to go into this as well, because the reputation of Burgundy is so extremely high?
Well, I wouldn't say scary. I would say exciting, because we are like a wealthy region, which means that we get to experiment a lot of things. And also, we are also like evolving quite fast in Burgundy, and I'm happy to be there because I felt like my ancestors, well, the work they did was the same all their life. And today with climate change, everything is moving so fast and we have to adapt so quicker than before. So it's like never, you know, it's always like every day is different.
How do the climate change make your work different?
Well, we have. So I think the key word is adaptation here, because we had to adapt quite fast to the fact that during the harvest, for instance, it's 38 degrees. So you have to harvest quite early in the morning, and you have to be able to welcome all the grapes at the same time, because the maturity levels are reached at the same time. While before, it maybe the harvest lasted 2 to 3 weeks. Mm. Today it has to last 8 to 10 days.
So it's much quicker.
Yeah,
the window is getting smaller and smaller.
But you only harvest in certain parts of the day. But is it almost night harvesting, or?
We don't do night harvesting because we pick by hand.
Yeah.
So yes.
You don't see anything.
You start when the sun starts to rise.
Yeah.
So 6 o'clock maybe, and we have to stop at 2.
Mm. Because?
Because it's too hot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had to adapt quite easily, but so it. Climate change did have an impact on the vineyards and on the grain as well, because, well, a few years ago, it was hard to reach a good level of maturity for white and red wine in Burgundy. Yeah. Today, it's quite easy. So that's why the wines have never been that good, you know?
Well, then that's a positive thing with the climate change, maybe. Okay, in the glass, we have now the Chardonnay. Maybe you can talk us through the wine that we're tasting.
Let me taste it. No, I do love the Chardonnay from Maison Latour. Because so the grapes are coming from all over Burgundy, all Chardonnay grapes. And I think that really embody like everything Burgundy has to offer, you know, because you get some grapes from Côte de Beaune, Côte de Nuits, Côte Chalonnaise and Côte Mâconnaise. So it is really the best of everything we can offer to the customer. So you've got... I do like it because you've got fresh fruit on the nose, and it's like ample, nice and round, yep, in the mouth.
Burgundy has, the prices in Burgundy has been more and more expensive in the last years. Do you think that is going to impact Burgundy wines?
So it's true that we've had our fair share of bad crops over, yeah, the last few years due to climate change, mostly because, well, it happens that sometimes we lose up to 80% of the harvest in some crops. So that's why the prices went up a bit, because, well, there was a low on offer and demand and we didn't have enough wine to provide the world and Norway. We hope it's going to stay stable at least and eventually go down, because we want everyone to be able to taste the wines.
Looking out for the cheaper years to come.
Yeah, because in Norway, we don't, like, if you look at the news in Norway, we don't hear much about the wine production and the wine industry, but we hear about the frost in Burgundy. Has that been an increasing problem, or has it always been a problem?
So the fact is, it has always existed, you know, in Burgundy, but it can happen much later in the season because there is no season anymore in France. And because the weather in winter is not as cold as it used to be, the fruits are going to, the flower and the fruits are going to be developed earlier. We will be exposed a longer time to frost and hail and other events like that.
I want to go back to the wine that we just tasted, because I would like to add that it's a, to me, this is a very typical expression of the Chardonnay from Bourgogne. And I think that's, if you, the people listening now, if you are going to start learning about Bourgogne Chardonnay, this is a very good example of how it's going to be, how it should be, I think.
Mm. Benchmark.
Benchmark, yeah.
Benchmark starting wine.
Gold standard. Sort of, but it's very, very typical expression, and I don't know if you agree to that, but of course it's your wine, so.
I might be biased, you know. No, but yeah, it's crisp and it's fresh, and I think when you are trying to learn more about wine, you have to start with the basics, you know, and that's a really good basics to start with, because it really shows what Chardonnay is and has to offer. Like freshness and fruitiness and crispness, all of that in only one glass. We are quite efficient in Burgundy.
You also make Pinots.
Yeah, we make Pinot as well.
And do you personally have a favorite? Do you prefer the Chardonnay over Pinot, or do you have?
Oh, you're talking about the favorite kids question,
right?
You like your daughter and your
you had to spoil it, didn't you?
Yeah. Gosh, I guess it depends on the day of the week.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
So that whenever I'm having a meal, I'd rather have a Pinot Noir with the meal I'm having. But if it's only like aperitif, do you have aperitif?
Yeah.
Yeah. Aperitivo? Yeah. I don't know how you say it.
Yeah. We drink a lot of wine in Norway.
I know.
Sometimes we are food.
I do love a good Chardonnay.
How is, because before we started, I was told that you are just starting to learn the business for real, and you are now touring around all your markets, and you started in Norway or quite early here, where we have the monopoly situation. Is that very difficult to get into compared to the more open markets in Europe and elsewhere?
Oh, is it more difficult? I guess it's different because, well, I like to say that monopoly market are kind of showing the way that we should behave towards the environment and towards other criteria. So it's really interesting for us to learn because, let's be honest, I think you might be in Norway 10 years ahead of us in France. So we are still learning, and we are learning thanks to monopoly markets, which sometimes impose specific requirements.
Yeah, lighter bottles
We actually started producing Bourgogne Chardonnay in lightweight bottles last year because of Norway. The monopoly asked.
Yeah, do you think you're going to start with screw caps?
That's me.
No, my father. So you know what? In Burgundy, we are also really attached to the tradition. So my father, he ran Maison Latour for over 25 years. He didn't want to hear anything about lightweight bottles. So as you can see, things have changed. Maybe it will change for screw caps. I don't know yet. Maybe it will take some time.
Yeah, it's the safest way to seal a bottle is with screw caps. They don't get corked. But I know in France, Italy, Spain, Germany, they don't talk about screw caps at all.
It's easy to open, you have to admit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite
It's easy, but it's not the charm, though.
The charm is a different sound.
Yeah, it's a different sound with screw caps. it is. But what do you think it's the future for Burgundy and your winery?
What the future is? Bright, I hope.
Yeah.
First of
you
all.
Say it's easier to make wine now than it was before, or good grapes.
It's easier to have ripe grapes. Yeah. Yeah. What the future is? I think we have to really take into account climate change. As I said, we have to adapt, but we have to invest quite a lot to make sure that we are not too impacted by climate change. I think we have to look towards other markets that were maybe overlooked before, such as Africa or South America, because that's where the customers that might like Burgundy are. And I think we have to be a bit more responsible towards the environment. So at Maison Latour, we've been sustainable for over 25 years now. So we take a good care of where we live because, well, that's where we walk, that's where we live, you know. But I think we have to do more efforts And Maison Latour is quite big in Burgundy. And I feel it's kind of our duty to show a good example to other producers.
Do you work with other producers or do you like share notes and like teamwork, or is it Burgundy, everybody and on their own?
So I studied law, so it's not allowed to share information with other producers. Now, everyone gets along pretty well because, well, it's the magic of Burgundy. So my grandparents were friends with the grandparents of my friends today. So when you were born in Burgundy, you stay in the region mostly, I think. Mm. No, everyone gets along because we are dealing with the same challenges, I think, today.
So it's a connection between the yeah. producers as well. You have, at the Monopoly in Norway, you have 31 different mm-hmm. wines. You have 100 wines in total, around 100 wines. How much bottles do you produce?
Oh, so we have, so in Burgundy, we produce between 3.5 million, I would say. And we also have vineyards in the south of France, in Ardèche and in the Var, if you ever come to France yep. for vacation. and there we produce almost 2 million bottles.
It's a quite an amount.
Yeah.
Do you think that, are you planning or are you already doing that you have specific wines for specific markets, like when you think about Norway and Scandinavia, that you have a special range that are suited for our palate, or is not that?
I think it used to be the case maybe a century ago, because, for instance, we started going into Côte Chalonnaise and Côte Mâconnaise thinking about the US market. But today, well, the range is available worldwide. But when we launched some projects, we had a specific market in mind. I don't think it will be the case anymore because, well, things are kind of, I would say, stuck today in Burgundy. You don't have the same opportunities than a century ago.
But when you're producing wines or you're going to produce wines in the future, do you have at least like the family recipe about oaking and production? You think that, oh, I have to do like my great, 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 great grandfather and 20% New York and 8%.
You missed second. One great.
Yeah, great. Great,
oh,
great,
yeah, great, yeah, great. Yeah,
yeah. Is it like you have this family recipe on some wines?
Well, I think there is a style at Maison Latour. So it's, you could say it's a family recipe. It has not evolved that much since a century ago. I think the climate change is making us evolve.
Natural evolution.
Natural evolution, I guess.
Yeah.
So, but after, yeah, the, when you produce wines, but when after in the production, is that basically the same?
It's basically the same because when I think about it, we still have our own cooperage at Maison Latour because the great, great, great grandfather used to make its own barrel. So we just kept doing that. And we are always going to age the Grand Cru and Premier Cru in new oak barrels. And that hasn't changed since, oh, I can't tell you how many years. So we do have like...
So you have something production. You have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can play with some wines and you have just, okay, this is the old ones. You're going to stay.
It's sort of what I would have done if I inherit or took over a big mansion with everything.
Yeah. The question is like, what kind of traditions are in it and how much can you develop? That's the thing I'm wondering about, basically.
Well, I think people are quite attached to the style of the wine, you know, and you don't want, we always said Maison Latour evolution and not revolution. Yeah. When you change, it's slight changes. So if we ever want to change the style of the wines, I think it would be so subtle that you would have to buy a bottle of Chardonnay Bourgogne from Maison Latour every year for like 10 years to realize that, oh, okay, they change some things.
So it's a small, small developer. Thank you so much for coming here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Is it the first time in Norway?
First time in Norway. First podcast ever recorded.
Ah,
so lovely. Thank you.
A lot of firsts. That's cool. We're going to wrap it up in Norwegian just to ensure that everybody got the essence of what we talk about.
Yep. Dette her var kjempehyggelig. Vi har smakt på deres entry-level wine som koster 250 kroner på polet og ja, er i basisutvalget.
Ja, men er ikke det kult at du kan få liksom, fra dette huset, dette, det er et stort navn For de som ikke har fått med dere dette, nå er vi på indrefilen her. Og så kan du få en entry level til 250 kroner som ikke er, det er egentlig gratis i den sammenhengen der. Gratis er det jo ikke, men altså, dette er veldig bra, og den vinen som vi smakte nå, den uttrykker dette her så fabelaktig som det kan få gjort det.
Jeg synes det, og det som litt gøy altså, å begynne her, og så kan du jobbe deg over bare, de har 31 forskjellige viner, bare de i Norge, så det noen som kommer veldig få eksemplarer og blir solgt veldig fort, men begynn å prøve deg litt frem, og så kan du ende opp med noen 2-3 tusen kroners flasker til slutt.
Det kan du, altså det ikke noe her, sky's the limit i forhold til hvor mye det koster, men ja. Et sted må du begynne, og vi anbefaler å begynne på bond da, kan du si, altså den begynner på entry level, det den grunnen til at det heter entry level.
Ja, det grunnen til at det kommer fra bond da.
Var ikke det veldig hyggelig å snakke med den nye generasjonen vinmakere, og det er jo gøy at jentene kommer inn på banen her nå, synes jeg.
Ja. Det jeg helt enig i, og jeg tror at hun her kommer til å greie det ganske fint. Det virker som hun har full kontroll på sakene sine, så dette her kommer til å bli kjempebra.
Det tror jeg også. Vi sier adjø fra Frankrike, fra Drinkfeed.
Vi takker også fra Kjellsvinkjeller og ønsker dere en fantastisk dag videre, og prøv litt Burgund, eller Bourgogne, som de kaller det.